Welcome to a special finals edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me today, longtime friend Parth Garadia. What's up, Parth?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. And I think I nailed your last name, even though I haven't talked to you in a long time, and I couldn't do that for like 50 episodes.
Yeah, you're on the money today.
So we're here to talk game one, recap game one, preview game two. Warriors came out on top in game one, 113-91. You know, a small lead in the first half, but in the second half, they exploded. What are your initial thoughts after watching game one?
That Kevin Durant's a little bit better than Harrison Barnes. Offensive game changer right there. He played great in his first game in the finals back since 2012 when he lost to LeBron in Miami. He was great, and he stands out in terms of players. He stands out the brightest for me.
Yeah, no, he had a huge impact on the game. And like last year, where they were able to kind of let Harrison Barnes miss all those shots in the corner and, you know, not worry about him driving. With KD, if you stick on those shooters, you give him a lane like we saw in the first half and the third quarter, he had a ton of easy dunks. And if you let a hot scorer like KD get cooking, you know, it's going to be an easy game for him throughout the whole series.
And I think he's the best offensive player in the league. He can score in the paint, mid-range, three-point, and even further out than three-point. So, I mean, his offensive repertoire is unmatched, in my opinion.
And last night he dropped 8 assists, too. So it's not only like he was scoring 38 points, he dropped 8 assists, getting his teammates involved. And it never felt like he was being selfish or he was taking too many shots or anything. It felt like perfect flow in the offense, and everything just kind of worked out. So I thought, you know, him having a big game one will lead to him having a big NBA Finals, and it kind of helped him get over that mental hurdle that he faces. You know, obviously there's a ton of pressure leaving OKC, going to Golden State after they were, you know, set the best record in the NBA last season. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think this game one is going to lead to KD having a big series?
I think he was going to have a big series regardless. I don't really buy into he's feeling the pressure of social media and other Hall of Fame players and just media in general bashing on him because he left to go to this team. I think he's having fun playing. He's had the most efficient season of his career. And I think the only way you have that efficient season is if you're playing stress-free.
Yeah, he seems to really enjoy the environment in Golden State, and he just gets along with a lot of the guys. You can even see in the press conference last night, him and Steph Curry, it seemed like they're good friends. And he just seems to really enjoy the vibe in Golden State.
Well, I mean, they've all been friends probably since USA Basketball. When was when they all play together? 2014? Was that the FIBA games?
Yeah, that sounds about
Draymond
right.
Yep. Might have been on that team. Curry, Thompson, they might have all been on that team. So they've known each other.
Yeah, and it seems like he's just, like, really fitting in. Do you think any on Cleveland can guard KD? Like, obviously LeBron, if he locked in, but he's not going to be able to put that type of energy defensively. They want to win games offensively. So do you think anybody else on the Cavs roster can defend KD at all?
I don't think anybody on the Cavs roster can defend KD. You're going to have to send help. I think even with LeBron, he's not going to shut KD down. It's not like LeBron versus Derrick Rose in 2011 when you can just throw LeBron on him in the fourth quarter and he can shut D. Rose down. KD's a different animal, man. It's 7 foot, handles like a guard, shoots like a guard, and obviously has the length of a 7-footer. So it's going to be tough. LeBron can take on the challenge, but if he does do that defensively, if that's what Cleveland needs him to do, I think Kyrie Irving really, really has to step up offensively. And not just in terms of scoring, but in terms of playmaking. Another, I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but another big part of yesterday's game was Cleveland's turnovers. And I noticed LeBron getting to the basket, but in between that area where he can take a layup or shoot a mid-range shot, I would say that 10 to 5 foot area where he gets in the air and he's looking for somebody to pass it to, and he's stuck and he throws it away. And I think,
yeah, I think that was
a lot of his turnovers.
Yeah, a lot of that was the Warriors.
Right. They're just not leaving the shooters, and they have good paint defense. It's, I mean, they're defensively one of the best in the league. So I think LeBron has a little bit too much pressure to play make. And I mean, he did have 8 assists, but he also had 8 turnovers. So I think Kyrie Irving, like, you as a point guard, I know he's a shoot first guy. I know he's a dynamic one-on-one player, one-on-one scorer, but you can't have as many assists as Tristan Thompson did. Like, they both had 2 assists and Kyrie had 4 turnovers. Like, you can't have a negative assist to turnover ratio.
They definitely needed to step up playmaking, because you could tell the Warriors, they did a great job when they gave help on LeBron. Not only did they, you know, prevent him from getting the layups, but they do a great job of rotating, getting back to their guys. And they do, you know, it's not like LeBron's going to have the easy layup, especially. And I felt like KD, good job on him defensively. You know, obviously he's not going to shut down LeBron, but he did a good job using his length and his size to, you know, really prevent him from getting those layups that he's going to score on 90% of small forwards in the league.
Durant's probably had his best defensive season probably in his career, and he did well in LeBron. LeBron shot a little under 50%, but the shots he was making, they weren't easy shots. So that's all you can ask for, really, with a great player. Just make them take tough shots. And KD's length, I think, allows him to force LeBron to taking tougher shots when KD is on LeBron.
Exactly. So, but you mentioned Kyrie, and Kyrie, you know, he had a solid 24 points, but the playmaking wasn't there assist-wise, and it just wasn't enough, because the Cavs are going to win the series. They're going to need LeBron and Kyrie to really outplay KD and Curry.
Yeah, when I see LeBron having 8 turnovers, that means, I mean, obviously Golden State's defense is great, but he's been asked to do way too much in terms of playmaking. I think Kyrie needs to take some of that pressure off him. Like, he can't have 2 assists. He needs to have some more. Put your teammates in a better position to help you out.
Yeah, and I think we'll kind of move on to this point is, you know, the whole Cavs team really didn't play well. Kevin Love had 15 points and 21 rebounds, which is solid. He didn't really have a good shooting night. Tristan Thompson, a guy who had a big 2016 NBA Finals, a lot of people had him as an X factor in the series, 0 points and 4 rebounds. And I think that really hurt the Cavs, because they just felt like they were getting dominated inside, not only defensively without a rim protector, but on the rebounding battle, giving Golden State extra shot opportunities.
Well, I definitely agree. He is an X factor, as you saw. He didn't play well, and the Cavs got blown out. So he is the Cleveland Cavaliers X factor, in my opinion, as well. But he only had – did he have how many? 3 offensive rebounds, 4 total rebounds. 3 is good for most people. For him, we expect more because he's relentless. He plays with a high motor, high energy. But they are double-teaming and triple-teaming this man and not allowing him to get offensive rebounds. He's a game changer when he can do that.
But no, you made a great point. They neutralized him, and they really put a lot of tension on him, and you just couldn't feel his impact in the game. And last year, you kind of always felt when he's there. And even when in the other series, in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, in and against Toronto, you know, his impact was felt a lot. Even when he's not getting a ton of boards, just his presence of easy putbacks. And I think that hurts the Cavs too, is, you know, he's usually due for – probably like 6 to 8 easy basket game, or 6 to 8 points easy, you know, a game, a few dunks here and then step up. JR, very good. I thought after JR hit the first 3 of the game that he was going to have a solid game, but that was his only shot make of the game.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to JR Smith. There were a lot of – I mean, there was one play in particular where KD's leading the break. He gets a board, KD's leading the break, and JR Smith has to choose, hey, do I guard Steph in the corner or do I stop the ball and stop KD? And he chose Steph in the corner, and KD got an open dunk. So, I mean, he more focused, but I don't know if you can – I don't know if there's a true win in that situation, in that particular situation. But he just needs to show up, man.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing when you're facing the Warriors. And I thought this was kind of something that the Cavs might have done in game plan-wise in that game, was they're, you know, we're going to lock in defensively on the three-point line and maybe give up some easy points in the paint. But that didn't work out, because they ended up allowing easy dunks for KD, got him going, easy dunks for Andre Iguodala. Curry got in the paint a few times. And I think just – and I would even say the Warriors probably missed a good amount of layups in the first half of that game. So it easily could have been a lot worse for the Cavs.
It could have been, but on the flip side of that, I didn't think Cleveland played poorly defensively. I thought they played all right. Just couldn't – I think the turnover difference was just huge. It's hard to play – it's hard to stop people when they're constantly on a fast break.
And I think Golden State made a good point of on that break right away throughout the whole entire game. You know, right from the start, you could tell they wanted to play up-tempo. And the Cavs did an okay job in the first half of keeping up, but it seemed the second half they were a little bit gassed and they weren't able to get back in time.
And if you look at the box score, KD and Steph killed Cleveland, but no one else even had double figures. Draymond Green had 9, Zaza Pachulia had 8, Klay Thompson had 6, Andre Iguodala had 7. So, I mean, they didn't get absolutely killed by everyone else, but KD and Curry murdered them.
And I think that just kind of speaks volumes about this series, is that the Warriors are at such a luxury where, you know, two of their better players can have a bad game and they can still win. Where so if the Cavs, where Kyrie or LeBron has a bad game, there's probably almost zero chance of them winning that game.
And I wouldn't even say either of them had poor games. They played fine, just not good enough to win. And even Kevin Love played all right. Their big three showed up, but no one else really gave them too much else. Richard Jefferson was okay, but that's about it.
Yeah, no, I didn't think they played like poor yesterday, but I'm just saying in general, like going forward in the series, if LeBron were to have a game where he shoots under 40% and doesn't, you know, has a ton of turnovers, or Kyrie scores under 20 points, I think it kind of limits them from having a chance. But you mentioned the other guys not stepping up. I thought Kyle Korver and Deron Williams, there were two guys going to the series that I was kind of curious to see how they'd play, especially because, you know, they've been in the league for some time and this is their first NBA Finals, and you really didn't see much out of those guys.
Yeah, Korver is a sharpshooter from three, missed all three of his attempts. Deron Williams only played 4 minutes. I remember he had one turnover where he caught an outlet and then went to underhand shovel pass it to LeBron, just threw it too far in front of him. I think that might have been in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a good game. Good game for either. Oh, I'm sorry. Deron Williams played 4 minutes. Deron Williams played 19 minutes, didn't score.
Yeah, that's not good. He's done that before in Brooklyn, too, when he played like 30-plus minutes and didn't score 1 point in a playoff game. But looking at the Warriors bench, you know, they came to play. A lot of people going to the series, some people thought that the Cavs had a better bench. I mean, personally, I was kind of on the Warriors' side on this one. It showed last night. And they kind of have depth throughout the team. They have a couple guys they can go to. I think they played everybody on the roster last night.
They did play everybody on their active roster.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of easy.
Cleveland has a lot of specialists in terms of, hey, they do this one thing very, very well. They might do a couple other things all right, but if they're not doing that elite thing well, it's hard for them to stay on the court and be effective. For example, Kyle Korver, three-point shooting. Tristan Thompson, his major impact is offensive rebound. He didn't do that up to his standard. And with the Warriors, you have guys like Klay Thompson. We all know Klay as a shooter, but he's also one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. So even if he's not playing well offensively, he's only 3 for 16, 6 points. He's still playing defense, and I think the Cavs shot 1 for 12 when Klay Thompson was the primary defender. Obviously, those are just numbers. It's hard to know. It's hard to kind of talk about the help defense and kind of how Klay has helped, but he's a good defender, and so you can leave him on the floor and he can still be effective in one way or another.
Yeah, and I mean, eventually he's going to shoot his way out of the slump, but I thought you made a great point about the defense. Me and Corey touched on the halftime show is he played really physical defense and he kind of got some of the guys out of their groove early on, and it kind of set the tone for the Warriors defense.
I was personally kind of hoping Mike Brown left him in the game the last 3 minutes and just tried to get Klay as many shots as possible. Just get him looks, get him run everything for Klay. I think he took him out with 3 minutes left, but I personally would have just left him in the game. But who am I?
Do you think he continues to slump the rest of the series, or he bounces back one of these games and just gets hot and drops 30 or 40 points?
30 or 40 is going to be tough. I think he gets back into the 20s, but I don't expect it to be – I don't expect him to average 20 if that's what you're asking me. There might be a game, two games, maybe where he gets 20, but I don't even think they need that. I think Golden State wins in five. That was my prediction before the final started. And I don't really think they need Klay to be sharpshooting in the finals to win. That's the luxury of Kevin Durant, right?
Yeah, luxury of having two MVPs on your roster. And Steph, you know, we didn't really touch on him, but he had a nice game. The first half, he was a little bit frustrated. Second half, he came out hot. I think he dropped 11 in the third quarter. So, I mean, when you have those two guys, KD and your two players playing great, you know, it's really a hard team to stop.
Him in transition and secondary transition, Steph I'm talking about, his threes broke that game open in the third.
And I think in the first half, the Warriors had only made threes. And I said on the halftime podcast, you know, the Warriors aren't going to hit three threes in a whole half again. And next thing you know, it's like 4 minutes in the quarter and they already have six in a quarter. So I think that's something that, you know, the Warriors aren't going to play bad or not hit their shots a whole entire game. So when they have, you know, not their best shooting half, you need to really take advantage. And the Cavs couldn't do that, and the turnovers killed them. The first half, they were pretty bad with turnovers. And in the third quarter, they were terrible. And I know you touched on that a few times. And what can they do to kind of protect the ball better.
I think they need to find other playmakers other than LeBron. LeBron's being asked to do a little bit too much. I know he's arguably the greatest player of all time in a lot of people's eyes, but even he has limits. It didn't look like it last year in the finals, so I'm never counting this guy out. But the way that they defended him in game one, they just put him in tough situations where he had to find other people. And it's kind of hard when you have five sets of eyes kind of staring at you, and then you're in the air and you're stuck and you have to make a play. So more playmaking all around, maybe trust some of the other players a little bit more to playmake. Obviously, no one's going to be as good or as efficient as LeBron when it comes to that. But it's kind of like you want – it's hard. The Warriors play that kind of brand of basketball where they pass it around and everyone's a threat to be a playmaker. I think Cleveland can do something similar. I don't think they can do it as well, but I think it would take a lot of pressure off LeBron.
Yeah, that's a great point. Run some sets, run your offense a little bit. It's not like this team can't play basketball at all. They can't handle the ball or pass the ball. I mean, Kevin Love's a pretty good passer. He can't really handle the ball a ton, but Kyrie can do it. Jared Smith is comfortable with the ball in his hands. I think it's going to be, you know, if they play Tristan or they play Love, I think they're going to go small. I think I would probably try to put another playmaker out there, like you've mentioned, and kind of help the team out, relieve the pressure for LeBron, and kind of open things up a little bit more and kind of match the quickness of the Warriors, because I think their speed definitely had an impact on the game.
And I'm not even talking about playmaking in the sense that, hey, you have to make the pass that gets the assist, but just make the right pass. And I think things will eventually open up to where LeBron gets a lane here and there, and then he can find other guys for 3-point shots. But Cleveland's not going to turn the ball over 20 times. Again, Golden State's not going to turn the ball over only 4 times again. Cleveland's going to shoot better than 35%. But with that said, Golden State's probably going to shoot better than 42%. So sloppy game overall, but I think the games will be a little bit more closer going forward.
But moving forward kind of towards adjustments, you know, do you think the Cavs are going to really try to slow this game down and kind of slow down the tempo, or do you think they're going to try to kind of play they have all postseason?
You know, I don't think Cleveland can play that slowdown type of game. I mean, they're an offensive team. They're not a defensive team. So I would say you don't want to play as fast as Golden State does, but you want to play to your pace, which is still fast, but just not as fast, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And I think just play smarter. You know, not only LeBron obviously had the 8 turnovers, and some of them were kind of stupid turnovers too, but some of the other passes they had are just boneheaded plays that, like, they're throwing the ball out of bounds or miscommunications, things along those lines. And like you said, 4 turnovers for the Warriors isn't probably going to happen, because a lot of people going to the series was like, oh, the Warriors don't take the best care of the ball, and what do you know, they tie a record for least amount of turnovers in the finals.
Yeah, they've been a little loosey-goosey the last couple of years, even in the finals last year. Do you remember – Clay was in the corner. Yep. There was a lot of memes where the basketball was turned into the championship trophy and Steph just threw it away.
Yeah. I think there's an article about it, and Steph was saying that, like, that he believes he can throw that pass and he'll keep doing it. So it's definitely interesting.
No, I don't blame him for doing it at all. But, I mean, it's just that's the brand of basketball they play. They've been successful doing it. I don't think they're changing. It's just they – maybe timing would be a little – maybe do that at maybe in the first quarter, maybe not in the fourth, you know what I mean? But
yeah, not in like 2 minutes in clutch time. Like, you got to do it when it's, you know, not a big deal if you turn the ball over. But in the finals, you could argue that every possession counts.
You can argue that, but the first possession of the game is not as important as the last possession, in my opinion.
For sure. Not for sure. What do you think the Cavs will be able to do to try to slow down KD and Curry?
You know what? If I had the answers to that, I would be an NBA coach. I have no clue what you're going to do there. I have no clue. It's, I mean, just make they're great scorers. Just make it tough. There were a couple plays in yesterday's game where the bigs were switched out onto Steph and Steph went to work. Last year, the bigs did a good job staying in front of Steph, forcing him into tough shots. So I don't know if that's injury related, where Steph's healthy this year and last year he wasn't, so he couldn't get by Tristan Thompson or Kevin Love or whoever else. But I mean, you have to stay in front of Steph, and it's difficult to blitz him off when he's the ball handler off pick and rolls. They did that a couple times that I noticed yesterday, and the ball just moves around, and one of the Warriors players gets an open shot. So I don't know, man. It's going to be tough. Kevin Durant just forced him into tough shots. I mean, I don't know what else you can do with that guy.
Yeah. And Curry, you know, I think upon being healthy, I think this game this year, he's added to his layup game and even handles to an extent. He just seems so deadly, especially in that Spurs series. There was games where he wasn't hitting his threes and he was still dominant. So I think that's like what really makes him tough. And he just has a great feel for the game. He always knows where the open guy is going to be, it feels like. So Steph is definitely going to be tough. If I'm the Mavs, I guess I'm probably just going basing off statistics. I might like give a little bit more help off, maybe a little bit more help off Draymond, and just kind of like, you know, take whatever they hit, because obviously Clay's slumping still, and maybe he'll get lucky and he'll slump again in game two and kind of put some more pressure on KD and Curry. What I would KD, I probably would be a little more physical. There was a lot of times where he just got to the rim untouched. You know, at least put a body on him.
Yeah, you might have to touch him up a couple times, as Shaq and Charles Barkley like to say. Just get him on the ground.
Yeah, and it was kind of really surprising. Even like LeBron himself, like almost let KD get past him a few times. So I think they'll definitely tighten that up. On the Warriors side, what do you think they need to change going this game, or they can just keep doing what they're doing and they're going to win game two?
Well, I don't think they're going to be able to only have four turnovers. I think they're going to shoot better. But they need to get some other people involved. I guess in a short sample size, you can get away with Durant and Curry. Like, Durant could easily average 35, and Curry could easily average 30 for the series. I don't – like, that's a possible thing for it to happen. But I wouldn't bet on it happening. So they need to get a little bit more contribution offensively from Klay. Klay is the third best offensive scorer. I won't say player, but scorer. And maybe Draymond could get a little bit more. Like, he only had two assists yesterday, and he leads the team in assists this playoffs run. So I think he's going to be better. I think Klay is going to be better. I think the turnovers are going to go up, though, and the shooting will be a little bit better. So I think it'll be closer going forward, but I mean, there's obviously some things that Warriors could be better at.
Yeah, I think probably hit some easy layups in the paint. Zaza Pachulia in particular, I don't know if you know, in the first half, there was like three times where he had easy dunks and he decided to pass it to his teammate. So that's something, you know, take advantage of them not giving you the open rim. Draymond, those two early fouls first quarter, and I think that really hurt his playing time. It kind of hurt his groove, because he didn't score his first basket of the game till late in the third quarter. So I think he'll have a bigger game. Unlike Klay, Draymond can kind of score without shooting a ton, and he can kind of get involved passing-wise a little bit more. Like you said, his assists weren't high. So Draymond will definitely get more involved. Klay, on the other hand, will be, say, like, I don't know if the slumping thing is going to keep him out of, like, his shooting thing, because he even missed a few layups yesterday too. So, but as long as he brings that heavy D and they get better contributions for Draymond, and, you know, KD and Curry will kind of carry the load most of the series, just the Cavs don't really have answers for them. So I think it'll be mostly the same. But like you said, the shooting will be better. The turnovers are going to be up. And I think they'll keep playing the same level of defense and just kind of get a little bit more Draymond involved.
And the one thing about the Warriors, we always think of them as a small ball team. This is not a small ball team. Durant's a 7-foot wing. Klay Thompson's a 6'7" wing. Like, these are lengthy guys. So
then they bring in JaVale McGee off the bench, who, you know, he had a nice impact yesterday as well.
He did. One thing about JaVale McGee, though, is when he's in the game, Cleveland has to put him in pick and roll. When Kyrie has the ball, he gets whatever he wants. If JaVale, even like when JaVale hedges, Kyrie's splitting that. When JaVale lays off, Kyrie's hitting a free throw line jumper. So that's one offensive matchup that they can really take advantage of, is just putting JaVale McGee in as many pick and rolls as possible.
Yeah, because you definitely have to, you know, attack him offensively, get off the court, because – you know, rim protection-wise, he did a solid job. Rebounding, he did a solid job. He gives him another big body. And then, like, one of our writers has touched on, Teo, is he gives him that vertical spacing. Because unlike Zaza, he can finish the alley-oop above the rim.
Right. And just have to make Mike Brown take him out of the game.
Exactly.
I mean, he's not – a lot of people have picked him as an X factor. He only played 6 minutes. He was a +8, 2 for 3 as far as field goals are concerned, 4 points. But, I mean, he does a lot more than the stat sheet indicates.
And he's just that 7-foot body, you know, like in the paint, it just has a huge impact when you have somebody that big down there.
6 minutes, 5 boards, like that's pretty good. So get him out.
Yeah.
Make them do something different. But while he's in there, that 6 minutes, you got to go at him.
For sure. But before we get out of here, let's get your predictions for game 2. Who's going to win? Who's going to have a big game?
Warriors. KD's my guy this series, man. He's going for that finals MVP. I think he gets it. KD, probably another 35-point game. Probably doesn't shoot as efficiently. I don't think the assists will be there as much. I think Draymond will take some of that from him. But I still expect 35 from him.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Warriors as well. I know you mentioned before you had the Warriors in 5. I had the Warriors in 6 if you haven't heard the preview podcast. And so I think they're going to win this game. I'm actually feeling more like 5 after watching game 1, but we'll see what happens. I think KD has a big game just for the fact that they don't really have any looks to threat him. And if you double team or triple team a player like that against the Warriors, you're giving Steph most likely or somebody a great shooter open shot.
Yeah, you're not, you can't double against the Warriors, especially now. Who are you leaving open? Clay? Yeah. Clay for 3, Steph for 3, Durant, Draymond Green, if you leave him open, he can make a play, he can score. And Zaza Pachulia, are you leaving him open under the basket for a dunk? So it's going to be tough.
Yeah, Tyronn Lue definitely has his work cut out for him because those secret defensive plans he had didn't really work out. And I don't think it was the best idea to say that the Celtics are harder to defend than the Warriors are.
But in his defense, though, I think, like LeBron always likes to say, game 1 is a feel-out game, and they felt that L hard. But I think it'll be better. I think it'll be better for Cleveland. I just don't expect them to take it past 5, but I think the games will be better.
Yeah, I think they'll bring it closer. That third quarter really let it get out of hand last night, and I think they'll kind of understand they need to slow down that pace when it comes to, you know, they get hot. Because they got hot and they made a little run back, but as soon as you let them look in a little bit, it's just like they're on fire.
Typical Warriors, though. They spurt, man.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, just one more point. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Western Conference Finals Game 1 where the Spurs had the big lead. The only difference was the Cavs didn't come out and play great like the Spurs did. But the Warriors played bad. Like, they didn't play up to their in that first half. They played a little bit worse in the Western Conference final game. But then in the second half, they just turned it on.
That spurt ability, man, it's legit.
Yeah, it's crazy. No lead is safe against the Warriors. But that wraps it up for today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Parth, great to have you on, and we'll be talking soon.
Yes, sir. Enjoy game 2, everyone.